We, you can't find that. I mean, we've experienced it in other churches and other countries, but it's precious here. It's like home. It's lovely. Well, I want to thank our family, Nicholas, James and Anna. I think they went through a lot being pastor's kids. I think I know a little bit about it because I was a missionary's kid. But you know, our kids, they were actually older teenagers. You were a teenager. You're older. Anyway, and Nicholas, if he's here, I don't know. But they really grumbled, if ever. They helped us, they kept us sane and blessed us. I just want to say thank you to them and also to the in-laws, David, Rose and Tessa. They're very brave, marrying into our family, and they're wonderful. And I also like to thank them. I think, you know, they protected Martin and me. I'm sure they heard lots of criticisms and things said about us, but they never told us. I just want to say thank you, because I think a lot went on in the background that we're glad we don't know about. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't think I could have done this job without them. I also want to thank all of you for your love and patience. Also for the encouraging cards and notes and prophecies we've been given over the years. I have a shoebox full of them to read when we need it encouraging. I got some out yesterday and made me cry. Beautiful words. People are so kind. Some of you have been with us for many years in this church. Wonderful, faithful, generous followers of Jesus. An inspiration to us. We honour and love you. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. The best people in the whole world come to this church. I could name names, but then I might forget somebody. As I look back, I'm allowed to do that, it's age. I never did that 23 years ago. as I look back, I remember what we accomplished with some sense of pride. And I don't think that's a sin because I know pride, not meant to have pride, but I just feel proud. I just think we did it. Yeah, we've climbed a mountain, and mine was a huge mountain. But here we are still standing to tell the tale, and we couldn't have done any of it without God. He strengthened our resolve and ordered our steps. We look forward to what is yet to accomplish in our lives. Philippians 1:19 says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we have completed this assignment given to us." And so I finish with thanksgiving, with wonderful memories of God's provision for us. Martin and I have been so blessed. And Mark is a wonderful man, I want you to know that. He keeps going, doesn't give up. And some of the difficult trials we've had, he's shown wisdom and faithfulness. He's a real good man. And I married him. Anyway, God is so faithful. He never lets us go. I'm talking about all of us. He holds us in his hand and says, "Fear not, for I am with you." This is his church, his people, his body, his temple, and where he dwells in our praises. What an honour it is for all of us to be a part of this church and the whole big church, and to serve him and worship him with our lives. I will finish with Psalm 121 that God spoke to me through when we went to the Vineyard School of Ministry in California in 1992. And it's still speaking to me. It's a promise for all of us, and to James and Tessa too especially. Psalm 121. I lift up mine eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. So that's Chrissy signing off.
I'm signing on for another 20 years. As preparation for this season and for handing over to James and Tessa, in a sense we're handing over to you young guys, I want to say that. I don't believe it's handing over just to one couple. I believe it's handing over to a new generation coming through. And I think this morning I've been sensing that very, very strongly in my spirit. And I think this, I'm going to say, if anything, it's time for you guys to rise up. And I've got a prophetic word which I'll share in a minute, and the Lord's really stirred that in my heart. So in a sense, I'm going to speak to you as a dad rather than looking back. I'm looking forward because I see in you guys abilities and things that I wish I had. And the things I'm going to share with you now, I wish somebody had shared that with us 20 years ago. Because we didn't do this thing because we wanted to do it, in a sense. We did this because God literally knocked us into this thing. We would have run a mile away if you told us about planting a church. What we wanted to see was the vineyard coming to Wellington. And that's a little bit part of our story, which I'll tell you in a minute. But this is what Chrissy and I wrote. And you're welcome to see these. We've written what we call a little story, our CV succession planning notes. It was to provide Graham and Rosemary and the SLs a little bit of something about what we saw as the season that we're moving into. But this is what we wrote about what our expectation of is in this church, and Chrissy's alluded to that very much so. Chrissy and Marty have always wanted CV to be a place of his presence, a place of worship, signs, wonders and miracles, a place where the Holy Spirit is welcome and where the power of God so impacts people that they would be passionate lovers of Jesus and his beautiful bride. Transform people, empowered to go out to fulfill his mission to the lost, both local, near and far. A church where sound biblical kingdom teaching is foundational and practical, revival and reformation. And I guess you'd say that a couple of things that motivate me strongly are those two things. All those things, actually. But certainly I want to see revival, but I want to see reformation. And when I look out here now, I see the ingredients and elements for that. Revival's for the church. Reformation is actually changing society in the way that they think. I see the potential here hugely. What Ellie's doing, if you get talking with Ellie, Andrew, a number of you guys, I want to name names, you guys are already impacting society in a bigger way than you possibly think. The teachers amongst us, Johnny, others, that's what God has called you to. And we're going to see reformation come through that. I've been hugely impacted over the years by my own personal walk. The encounter that I had in 1978 with the Holy Spirit, and I've shared that with you, was like a springboard. It springboarded us into, some of you guys weren't even born then, so it springed most of you, but it springboarded us into something that gave us a hunger and a passion for Jesus like we've never had. I've always loved the church. I love what Tessa shared last week. It was one of the best talks that I've heard on the church. It was real, it had vibrance, it was true, it was from her heart, it was raw, it was honest. And I thought, yeah, just all ticked all the boxes as far as I'm concerned. I'm a passionate follower of Jesus. I love Jesus. I'd be willing to go and do this all again. You know, I really would, even though it has been a journey. I would. It's been so exciting. But it's also had its roller coasters as well. But I love the bride of Christ. I can't see how you can be. I can't see how a person can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fall in love with Jesus and not love the bride. It doesn't fit. And if you're listening to what Tessa said last week, we have been made and honed to be part of something. And this is the something that we're part of. So I love it. I love Jesus. I love the bride of Christ. She is stunning and she has been made more beautiful every day. And I don't care about the label above the door, quite frankly. I don't care what it is. Last weekend, I had the privilege of being with 320 different churches at the Arise Conference. It was absolutely fantastic to be with the wider body of Christ. And we're part of that, people. We're part of that. The word says, abide in the vine. I am the vine. I, the Father, is the vine. We are the branches. Then he goes on to say some other things about bearing fruit, about the pruning process. But the important thing is we have to abide in the vine. On the 18th of July, I felt the Lord give me a word for the church, and it seems to fit in with what we're hearing today. And I feel like I'd be wrong if I didn't share this. What I saw, and you referred to this in the worship, I saw this wind blowing over this church. So I'm talking about CV. This is for you guys. I saw the wind blowing over this community and those that are not here today. And what I saw, I got a little sketch here, like this elliptical thing. Engineer, I love ellipses and things. But we're actually all together here. Some of us standing up, some of us lying down. But the wind of the Spirit was blowing over this gathering. And what it was doing, you see, we're all together. And what it was doing, it was taking the fragrance of this place and it was blowing it out across the city. It was blowing it into the workplace, whether you work for IRD, whether you work for Endgame, I don't care where you work, whether you work looking after your family, but it was blowing over this community and releasing the spices therein. Awake, O north wind, and come, south wind, blow on my garden that its fragrance may spread abroad. Let my lover come to this garden and taste its choice fruits. That was, in essence, what I felt the Father was saying. That's from Song of Songs. The wind blowing over, releasing his fragrance in ways that we could never, ever expect. Come north, wind, blow upon us as a people. We need to be together, you see. That's the whole thing. To have this fragrance that he's got for this church, if you're not here, you're not part of the fragrance. There's a name for it, a potpourri or something, but there's a fragrance that is unique to this community. But we need to be together. And Tessa talked about that. I can smell it. This is a season of joyfulness. This came out this morning. Graham had that word at the start of the year. This is a season of joyfulness where there is love, there is unity. Where there is love, there is joyfulness. Where there is love, there is peace, there is shalom. Where there is love, there is power. Ephesians 3:18 talks about that. Let's give what we've got. Let's give what he's given to us now. Let's give it away. Let's give it away, people. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. As we bless, he will bless. As we bless, he will bless. And I really felt that he was saying that this wind in my spirit is here and is blowing over us in this new season. So our journey began a long time ago, but certainly about 1985, we'd read about the Vineyard Movement in a Christianity Today magazine. I've kept copies of it. But what we read really stirred us up. We were only young guys. We were looking at that stage of putting aside anything to go and follow whatever the Father had for us. I'm an engineer. Chrissy's a teacher. We thought maybe we could end up with YWAM. We didn't know what was happening. But we're at the point where you're ready to go, you know, sell up everything and pack your bags and go. And we read about John Wimber, we read about signs and wonders, how he's speaking about signs and wonders 101 at the Fuller University in Anaheim, and we thought, yeah, that sounds like the sort of thing that we want. That sounds like the sort of church that we're hungry for. We were going to a small community fellowship at that stage, but it stirred something up in us. And then in 1986, we had the opportunity on going on a sabbatical, and I was on full pay for about 5 months or 6 months, something like that. I was working for the government at that stage, but great sabbatical. So we decided that we'd sell the car and I think we sold the car, get another mortgage, and we packed the car, packed the kids, and off we went overseas for about 4 or 5 months. But part of that journey is a little part of that journey. We stopped by in Anaheim and went to Disneyland, rock and roll, love it. I go there again. But then we found our way, and in a remarkable way, we found our way to the Vineyard Church. It was quite undercover, but in quite an amazing way, which is a story in itself, we found our way to this church. John Wimber, who had been in hospital for heart operations or something like this, had come out that evening, and he was the keynote speaker. And he announced then, 1986, he announced that he was coming to New Zealand first time at the end of that year. And through his visit later on in that end of that year, that's how the Vineyard movement, basically the seeds were sown for our national movement. That's when Lloyd and Vicky and the Rankins and others actually heard him and said, this is what we want to be part of. So we got to hear him first. It's cool. And the Lord put something in our hearts which was rather unique. Then I had an accident. God seems to do this to me, and I won't go through the details. Yes, knocked me down, then build me up. I broke 5 ribs. You don't hear that story. But the interesting thing is this. What an agony thing. Yeah, I fell off a ladder. But anyway, the interesting thing is this. I fell through the ladder. On the way to the hospital, the Lord spoke in the ambulance with James. The Lord spoke to me, and he said, I'm going to have you involved with the Vineyard. I want you involved with the Vineyard. Very clear. I'm going to have you involved with the Vineyard, and I'm going to heal you. Well, I thought I was dying, actually, and it took 40 days for the healing process, and that's a story in itself. Then John Wimber came to Wellington for a Holiness Unto the Lord seminar, big thing, a big event with about 4,000 people in the winter show buildings. And I lined up with others and went up and spoke to him and told him a little bit about my story. And he said to us, why don't you sign up to go to the School of Ministry in the States? So we wrote to Brent Rue, who was the then pastor of the church, and through an amazing way, we got accepted for the school. So that was another part of our journey. We got invited to the school. James was baptized up there, water baptized. I used to spend a lot of time walking around the ranch, rattlesnakes, all sorts of things. Shot a few gophers and things. Anyway, but there was a time for us to set aside for 3 months to hear from God. And what God spoke to me or spoke to us about, I didn't want to hear, to be honest, because I was there to really get ready for the next stage of our life. He said, I want you to go back in your church and serve in that church for another 2 years, and then I'll reveal the next part of the plan to you. Then that's what happened. 2 years later, in a remarkable way, we ended up back in the States. And then that's when the Holy Spirit impacted us at a Let the Fire Fall conference. It was amazing. And I think I spent probably most of the time on the floor. But during that time, the Lord showed me some things. I couldn't move. I was totally under the anointing, whatever you like, and the Holy Spirit. I had my hands out several times. But on this occasion, I could feel these things being put in my hands, and I didn't know what they were. Because I didn't think that we were going to be part of what this is going to be in New Zealand, a church plant. But looking, then I realized that he was putting hammers, nails, saws, and things in my hand. Church planting was starting to be put into our hearts. And Chris will tell you that we had no desire to do this thing. And then an amazing thing happened in 1995 when Bob Fulton, who was part of the Vineyard movement, John Wimber and those guys were out here inaugurating the New Zealand churches, a group of churches to be part of the Vineyard. We were given the opportunity to start this church. Now, that's a bit of the history. So we were essentially the first Vineyard, official Vineyard church plant in New Zealand. So I think that's quite special. And so they said, why don't you go to Wellington and go back to Wellington and start a home group. This is the instruction, and we'll see what happens. So that was it. So we came back to Wellington, and an amazing thing, over several days, we had phone calls from people who had no idea who, kind of what we were doing, and they were just giving these prophetic words through scripture. I've got many scriptures there and words saying about this vineyard that God was going to plant. It was quite remarkable, quite remarkable. And then over a period of 9 months, we gathered a group of 20-somethings here. I don't know when you came, Banker, but I remember you guys coming a little bit later on. But we ended up with about 23 20-somethings. Our own age group, they weren't interested. They probably thought we were crazy, and I think we thought we were as well. I remember waking up our first day after we'd left our previous wonderful church, and we sat up in bed. We looked at each other and said, oh, okay, what do we do Sunday morning? What do we do now? We're the church, just me and Chrissy. We're the church. And I think we had a little service downstairs in the lounge. Then others gradually came to join us. And that was the start. 9 months later, exactly 9 months later, we ended up meeting in this room here. There's another church meeting in the morning, and they said, we would like you guys to use this facility if, you know. Well, I said, well, what, you know, they said, well, you can have it, you can actually have it only in the evenings, which suited our dynamics anyway. So, yes, we used to party every Saturday night. Amazing. So that was how we started. Then a short time, I think just after that, Lloyd and Vicky came through and prayed over this motley group and released us as a church and ordained us as the leaders of this church. So it's been amazing. But some of the little things that I just want to read out very, very quickly to you, because there's too many things, really. But can I say this, that from 1998, so the church went public in 96, 1998, just about every year following that, even though we were a small group, we sent teams over to Fiji. Didn't have a lot of money, had no money, actually. But we kept sending these teams over to Fiji. And I'm still getting feedback from people that were healed, people that, just some of the people that we spoke to then and our teachers. But the impact that this church had on Fiji in those days is still happening. The fire is still burning over there. And I think we will be returning to Fiji with my new hat on. Oh, my new hat. Yes, I have a new role. I better just drop this in. My new role, by the way, is 3 M's. M&M. So I'm going to be involved with missions projects, mentoring, because I am mentoring people locally and internationally and through Skype. And also, what's the third thing? Ministry. So the 3 M's. So I've still got a role to play. I want you to know that, okay, for 20 hours a week. So that's very kind of the board. Thank you, Chris. I feel very honoured to do that, actually. And I'm looking. But you wouldn't be able to stop me anyway. Hey, I'm not going to stay still. No, blowed if I am. But you know, it's this. That this is a wonderful family, as Chrissy shared. And we do have something to share. We've got something here that other churches haven't got. And Lydia came through. Lydia from New Wine said this prophetically over a number of years ago. She said, it's interesting, you're not a big community, but other communities in Wellington look at what's happening here, and they're influenced by what happens in this place. And I'm not saying that in any pride. I'm just saying that was an observation, a prophetic word that she had over us as a people. You are that people. You carry something that somebody else doesn't carry. I'm really today want to not talk about so much the past. I want to encourage you guys to go forward. It's time, people. The garden is prepared. Truly, it's prepared. The vine is ready. The grapes are full. They're ready to eat. It's time. If it's time, the fragrance is there. It's time. Don't stay still. Don't run away. Stay here. Get stuck in. You heard Tessa's message. If you didn't hear a message, go and listen. Be real about it. We're going to rub up against each other. You're not going to agree with everything that I say, anybody else. But that doesn't matter. It's part of the deal. The deal is we need each other. And it's about each other. I'm getting carried away. So here's a few things that have happened, okay? It's been fun. So I'll just read these things, all right? Cheers, cheers out, cheers in, cheers out again. That's okay? Yeah. Toilets cleaned, carpet cleaned, stairs cleaned. This is part of the stuff that we've done. Food, glorious food. Each week off to more Wilson's to fill up the trolley. Don't know where the money came from. Meetings, and more meetings. We had a group called LTPM. So if anybody came to the church and they jumped, we invited them to be part of LTPM. That stands for Leaders Training Planning Meetings. Okay? I don't know where it came from, but that's what we called ourselves. So everybody that came, they were leaders. All right? People in, people out. People in, people out. Yeah? Weekend planning retreats. Pai Kokoriki, Wairarapa. Camps, El Rancho, Otaki, Otaki, El Rancho, whatever, anything that jumped, we would have get out the water blasters and have fun. We just did it. The main thing for at these events was eating and drinking and being merry in a nice way. You know what I mean? We had lots of fun, lots of worship, lots of fun. Crazy, amazing. Okay, speaking every week. Yes, I felt. Poor people listening to me every week, trying to envision people with the vision that we had. I felt really sorry for it. Worship. I was leading the worship, believe it. I was leading the worship, and I've got down, I put down here, poor band, yeah? Marty's rhythm. I was never in rhythm. Making up words. Chrissy reminded me this morning. That's what I did. Even when I toured with a certain sounds, the leader of the group said to me, you never... Because I had the chance to do solos. And he said, you've never sung the same verse, the words the same. And they were recording them. I'm just being really honest with you, okay? And there's more to come. Jumping over chairs, falling over chairs. Remember that? Jumping over, falling over chairs. Car trips to Orcas, going to Orcas. More meetings, always learning. All of you. Happy, amazing people. We had international speakers coming through. The best, David Roos, who's coming here again. The guys from Australia. Whenever I went to these conferences, even though we're small, I'd say to these guys, even Andy Parker, say, why don't you come to Wellington? Why don't you come to our church? And they would come. I don't know where the money came from, but they came. We've been so fortunate. Okay. Oh, dear. People scattered globally like seeds. This is what's happened. If you look at the map, that's only part of the story. We've scattered people right across the world from this small community. We can thank God for that. Always fun. Oh dear, not enough holidays, eh, Chrissy? Because all of my holidays were at conferences. But thank goodness for you guys. Thank goodness. Here, coordinating teams. We, me, you, so giving, so wonderful. You are the church. Andrea, Miranda, high caliber people that could get jobs in any of these corporations around town and be making hundreds of thousands of dollars. I want to honor you guys. I want to honor these guys. Yeah? Amen. Yeah? Yeah. Amen. James and Tessa as well, Anna and David, Nicholas and Rose, my own family. I want to honor you guys. Chrissy's already said, but I want to honor you again because without you guys and the support and encouragement, I think I'd have just gone back into engineering, made more money. Anyway, hey Rob. Anyway, so this is church. This is what it's all about. This is your church. We are the church. I'm carrying on saying, we have to keep saying that. We are the church. We are the church. You are the church. I want to honor the SL team. Amazing SL. Amazing trustees. Robin, Chris, Henry. You guys have set something, I believe, with all my heart. You've put something together which didn't exist years ago, but I believe it's a very sound charity formation for what God's got in the future. And it's such that we can go out from this. We've already had somebody, this is a secret, we've already had somebody ask us if we'd be interested in taking our Kingdom School of Ministry into another city. I don't know what's going to happen with it, but the question has been put to us because they like what we're doing. People, we're living stones. That's what we are. Paul talks about that in Ephesians. We're living stones. I want to thank you because without you guys, this wouldn't be. Without your love, support, your time, your money, your resources, we have to have money. Every seat that you're sitting on was paid by somebody. These seats here, by the way, they came because we had no seats. The place was empty. Young people who were working at the university were giving something like $5 a week. They didn't have a big salary. That's how we bought these seats. This block of seats all came from AMP on a truck, and I gave them some beers for it to pay for it. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell the Baptists. These ones here came from Westpac. These are from Westpac. Those ones came from Fonterra. I think we bought these. These from Westpac. Westpac. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The couch came from AMP. Yeah. In fact, that was in Anna's flat at one stage. Yeah. So I'm saying, we need your money. But this is what happened. I'm grateful to God. These young guys, $5 a week. In fact, that's how we used to know that people were signing up for the church. They would have these APs. They said, how do you have it? What sort of membership? I said, when people had the APs, we felt that was a good sign of membership because we'd sort of thrown a lot of the stuff out. It's just amazing. Anyway, but thank you for trusting us. Thank you for the incredible opportunity. Incredible. But there's more. There's more people. And together, we're going to experience them all. We're not going away. We're going to be here. And I'll be prompting you guys in ways. Sorry, James. If I'm allowed to speak every now and again, I'll be prompting you guys, pushing you. His promises are his promises, right? His promises are his promises. And the words that we received, and I've got a folder there full of prophecies, a lot of those have not come to pass. So I'm holding on to those. His promises are his promises. And I felt the Lord say yes and amen to that. They're still there. This is a new season of release and joyfulness. And I'm going to finish off with a prophecy that I felt the Lord give me yesterday. And I want you to hear this. I need to get Rosemary to type it up. She'll analyze things and type things up. She checks. See, I make myself accountable to our team. If I get a prophetic word, as Rob said this morning, judge this. So I'm not afraid to have people judge my prophecy. If it's rubbish, chuck it out. But this is what I feel the Lord's saying. Came as a surprise yesterday. I had a rough night two nights ago. Actually, I want to tell you this. And I think it's like the enemy was, I don't know what was going on, but I don't get earache, but I ended up with an incredible earache. Yeah? I was nearly have to go to, I thought maybe, I kept praying, Lord, you've got to heal me from this thing. I'm going to be talking about healing. Thank you for the prayers this morning. But it was horrible. And then I was surprised that we ended up taking Chrissy to the A&E this morning. See, we're in a battle. You know, blowed if I'm going to give up. I am not going to give up. And we're going to press in together. This is why we need each other. And you guys prayed for me this morning. We need each other. We need to be together on this deal. And if somebody's sick or somebody's hurting, then the whole body hurts. And actually, one of the things that I really loved, many things I loved about this conference over this last weekend, was the way that they honored people, the hospitality. I've never seen a conference so well organized, but also the level of hospitality and the way they honored each other was absolutely superior. So I really honor Jillian and John Cameron and their people. They put hundreds of thousands of hours into that and money. It was all free for us as senior pastors. Unbelievable. That's how the body of Christ works. 300 churches together, as I mentioned. But one of the things that I found really interesting is that the speakers were saying the same thing. Pretty much what Tessa said last week. Shape up, guys. The conference was called Wake Up. Awake. He's really saying to the church, don't keep going all over the place. Stay where you're planted and let God do stuff in your life so you can go and do things for the kingdom. Because we need each other. And you guys are remarkable. You know what I'm saying, because I think this is the best church in the world. Martin, tell my children, he often says that to me. He surprises me, sneaks up on me. Tell my children to rise up, to wake up. That's what he's saying. To give of your time and resources like you have never done before. So I felt the Lord saying, I have prepared much for you, ready for release from my heavenly storehouse. My storehouse is full to overflowing, and it is ready for release. It's like I could see this storehouse, like a big grain house, and I could see the sides of it bulging. That's how much is in there. He's talking about this church, bulging at the sides. It's like it's heavenly storehouse. You can take this too, Bianca. It's sitting for release. But he's saying some other things about it in order to have release. It was incredible. It would be like, it's like dominoes. It's like, I felt the Father say, it's like dominoes falling over. I'd like that. I like falling over. Everything lined up. So you see, everything lined up, but it's going to take a few to let go and to fall into His arms. We're singing about that this morning. To let go and to fall into His arms. It will have an impact on releasing the others. So we're talking about release of gifts. We're talking about resources. We're talking about finances. We're talking about personal finances. We're talking about finances in the church. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about jobs. We're talking about workplace opportunities. We're talking about creativity. It's bulging with these things. And I think what He's saying to us is just let go. And when a couple of you let go, it's going to have this, I can see it, this domino effect that's going to impact not only this church, but it's going to impact the city. It's going to impact the nation. And it's going to impact the nations. And as I say nation, I believe God is raising up people here to be prominent in government positions. So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Now's the time. Give to Him. Not to me, to Him. Everything you desire. Now, we talked about this morning, my wind, this is the Father saying, my spirit wind will move things. Trust me even more. Prove me for this. Prove me in this season. Prove me for this. You need me. He said, you need me and you need each other. But I have declared it. I felt the Lord yell this out, but I have declared it for this community, for CV. I've declared it. I feel it like a blast. Don't look back except to give thanks. Don't look back except to give thanks for what I have done. And that's what we've tried to do this morning. Look forward to the promises that I have to release from my storehouse. It's got CV written on it. My dear, and this is the Lord saying, my dear ones, I love each of you dearly, and I've positioned you for this time. Just put your trust in me, not man. I have a banner over you, and on that banner, I've still a sketch here, it's a banner with love written on it. Love. Love spelt T-I-M-E. That's what love's all about. Don't be lulled into sleep. So I felt the Lord saying, don't be lulled into sleep. Rise up, for now is the time. I'm done. I don't know why. I'm sure. Is that okay? So, guys, last time with this, looking at you as a senior pastor next week. We'll bring all your friends next week. We're going to party. Bank, I remember you. I remember us partying here, honestly, every Sunday night. We would have a mosh pit before everybody else was doing it. We had a mosh pit. We were one of the first churches in the city to have, I'm puffing my chest out, to have our own cafe over there. I won't tell you what the cafe stand looked like, but I do know that the church that met here in the morning used to cover it up. Just over there. So the first thing we bought was that's our second machine, I think. The first thing we bought was a cafe machine. But we would party till late. The band was here. There was always a mosh pit going. Yeah, over here. I tell you, one evening I was up against the wall here. The Holy Spirit was on me, just like this. And I think it might have been Remu, who's going to be here next week, came over and he had this amazing prophetic word over me. See, the Lord said to me, don't you ever get to a stage where you don't let the likes of these pray for you. And he's talking about the young people. He said, don't you ever get to a stage where you don't submit yourself to these young people. So I did that. But some of the prophetic words we got were amazing. So I'm propped up against the word here. I don't want and he comes over and he said, you're going to come into a season of financial blessing. It's going to blow your socks off. Then he carried on prophesying. And a couple of months later, that's exactly what happened. The Lord blessed us amazingly, financially. There you go. I'm just telling you that. Submitting ourselves to one another, letting each other pray over each other. Some remarkable words, that word that Rob had this morning, you know, that tied in perfectly with some of the things I've talked about this morning. Fitted in what happened in the worship this morning, tied in. Love one another. But we got a party. You know, Graham Wallace had this prophecy. He also had a word when in India, and I hope he gets a chance to share that with you sometime, because he had to break through something to bring healing. But it's to do with joy. We're not meant to be sad. We're meant to be glad and joyful. And that's part of what is over this church. And I've said enough. I'm still going on and on and on. But don't miss next week, okay? I'm looking at you guys, and I know I've said this before. I could prophesy of everyone. I'd love to do that, but I can't do that this morning. But I'm going to say this, that I felt during the worship. I'm looking at you, eyeballing some of you guys, that you're sitting on something that you don't realize what you're sitting on. You're sitting on your bums. Sorry, I hope this has not been recorded. But you're sitting on your bottoms. And if you hear that prophecy, all it's going to take is you giving more of yourself to Him. If you don't know Him, you need to meet Him. I'm being real frank here. You need to meet Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the one that brings clarity and sensibility to your life. Truly, I've proved it. I've had the other stuff. I know it's like to tour in a band. Great fun. But I wouldn't want to do it without Jesus. And I can understand people touring in bands and getting really, really lonely. Okay? I can understand that, becoming separate from the very people that they want to present their music to, because it's a lonely life. I'm looking at you guys, and I'm seeing so much potential. Please get in there. Get behind James and Tessa. They're incredible. Get behind Chris and SLs, Rosemary and Graham and Michelle. And who I missed out? I missed probably, yeah, whatever. But get behind your leadership team. Get behind these guys. Pray for them. Pray, because this church is sitting on something that I really believe is ready to go. I'll pray. So, Father, can we stand? I just love what Chrissy shared. It was so honest. And Chrissy, I do want to honor you, because I had that in my notes, without you, this wouldn't have happened. If you'd said no, I wouldn't have been able to cope with it on my own, because you've always been there. Meetings. But you're always there, you're holding my hand, supporting me. And we've always been a team anyway. Yeah, so thank you. So I really just want to give Chrissy a big hand again. Yeah. And you did take a bit of a risk marrying me in the first place. Our backgrounds are totally different. But I want to thank you. I just want to thank you. And yeah. My love and respect, and I'm just so glad that we've been part of this. As you said, this was like, you know, we'd love to have had more children. I think, can I say this? Can I say what? I won't say that. You say it.
I love children. We had three, and we were so blessed, but I wanted four and never got four. It didn't come. And I was so sad. I grieved for a few years. God said to me, Chrissy, you can, Capital Vineyard can be like a child that you look after and care for. That's my child that you're looking after. And that was a great comfort to me. And I loved it, and I've always loved this church.
Pretty cool, eh? Yeah. The Father said to me a number of years ago, part of my journey, He said, I want you to model, it's all to do with this presence. I want you to model my presence. I want you to teach on my presence, and to preach on my presence. So that's the thing that I've endeavored to do. So I'm going to pray for you guys that you would come to know the presence of God, both on an individual basis, and that we'd continue to experience His presence when we come together. Father, you've spoken to us this morning. I really believe that. And I know next week, Father, we're handing over the role, Chrissy and I, to come up here with me, Chrissy. We're handing this over to James and Tessa, and in a sense, we're handing it over to these young guys here today. And there's some wiser older ones here too, so it's not just handing over to the young guys. It's handing over to you guys. I know we're still part of the family, Lord, but my prayer would be that each one here, and from the little guys right through to the older ones, would have an encounter with you, Lord, that they would fall in love with Jesus in a way that they never have before. That Father, we would, just like you're calling us to do that, we would be ready to give more than what we've ever given of ourselves and our resources. Yeah, that you've challenged us this morning, all of us, me included, Lord and Chrissy, that we'd give more. And I pray, Father, that each person here will find their place both within this church community, whether we're encouragers, whether we're hospos, whatever you call us to be, and help us to work and at that, Father. But I pray that each person will prosper in every way in their workplace as well. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would, that we'd be men and women who would be passionately in love with Jesus, that would worship you with our whole being, that our lives would be totally given over to you. I pray for a divine encounter through your Holy Spirit that would cause us to fall in love with Jesus. That precious Holy Spirit, you would remain the oil and the mechanism which makes this church up. That this church would prosper, that this church would be a welcoming church that will impact the city, the nation, and the nations. I really pray for that, Lord. So we open up these doors right now and we say, King of glory, come in, blow upon this garden and release the spices therein, we pray. Release the fragrance therein. Because I ask these things in the name of Jesus. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be on each of you and your families. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you.